This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. It's just right up top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com is where you want to go. Well, Republican lawmakers supposedly are fuming. I say supposedly because I want to see some hair burning here. I don't know about you. Over that bombshell report overnight that the U.S. government airlifted the equivalent of $400 million cash to Iran this past January as four detained Americans were released by Tehran. And they say the transaction has put more Americans at risk of being taken hostage. You know, people do that which they get rewarded for. Now, the cash transfer, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, was the first installment paid in a $1.7 billion settlement the Obama administration reached with Iran to resolve a failed 1979 arms deal dating from just before the Iranian Revolution. Well, if you heard Ken Timmerman earlier, he said that that $400 million was already resolved years ago. And so for them to come up with this backstory, see, this is the problem about people that are deceptive. You're going to get found out because the truth is going to catch up with you sooner or later. Unfortunately, we just cannot rely on the mainstream media to give that to us because there's so much in the tank for this Democratic Party and this president. And, of course, in this soundbite here, we've got the State Department spokesman John Kirby insisting that it wasn't a ransom. And, you know, as he's speaking, just think what it must be like to have his job. Listen to him.
We don't pay ransom. We just don't pay ransom. It is our policy. This was not ransom. Any suggestion that it had anything to do with ransom is absolutely and utterly false. These were two separate processes run by two separate teams. Now, yes, they were done simultaneously, and so I understand the coincidental nature here, the timing, but absolutely had nothing to do with ransom.
This $400 million is actually money that the Iranians had paid into a U.S. account in 1979, as part of a transaction to procure military equipment. This all came to a head at the same time because we are addressing and resolving long-standing concerns with Iranian behavior. And the benefits are almost too long to mention.
It just makes you wonder, you know, how arrogant this administration is to think that nobody was going to notice this, that somehow they were going to get away with it. Why not? They've been getting away with everything else up to now. Of course, the second spokesman was Josh Earnest, the White House spokesman, who had agreed that certainly it's possible the $400 million cash payment to Iran was used and could be used for nefarious activities. Do you think? Well, this is what Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who serves as the Major General Matthew C. Horner Distinguished Chair of Military Theory at the Marine Corps University, had to say.
Today, the FBI charged a police officer in Washington with wiring money to what he thought was ISIS. In the criminal code, that is called material support to terrorism. What the Obama regime did is $400 million worth of material support to terrorism. The president himself admitted in an interview in March of 2015 that Iran is still a state sponsor of terrorism. Why are we giving them any money? We know that they will use part of that money for terrorist operations, and we know in the last 15 years that they sponsored and gave weapons to the militias in Iraq that killed U.S. servicemen and women. How is that not material support to a terrorist regime, Sean?
Exactly. And Foreign Affairs, House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Ed Royce, the Republican out of California, said in a statement, hundreds of millions in the pockets of a terrorist regime means a more dangerous region, period. And paying ransom only puts more Americans' lives in jeopardy. Now, since that cash was airlifted, as we discussed earlier, Iran's Revolutionary Guard has arrested two more Iranian Americans. Why aren't they going to do something different? I mean, we said, hey, look, we're going to reward you for taking hostages and we're going to pay ransom. we're now in play, like it or not, because of what this administration has done to us. 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now, America.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Be along with us just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. By the way, someone asked, hey, are you still giving away those DVDs, the Miracles from Heaven? Yeah, we certainly are, by all means. All you got to do, just drop us an email. No purchase necessary. Just drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me you want to be in the running for that DVD. And we'll put you in the hopper. We pull your name out. Make sure you include your address so we know where to send the DVD, okay? T. Beckett Adams is with us. He's a staff correspondent for the Washington Examiner. He's previously written for The Blaze and originally from South Bend, Indiana, but having fun on the East Coast. Beckett, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, great to have you here. In typical form and fashion, of course, people are still trying to get their brains around what this administration, John Kerry, Barack Obama have done to us in securing our national security and really putting a target on the backs of all Americans after paying this payment of $400 million to Iran. What do you say?
Well, it's interesting. The State Department did mention this in January when it happened, but it was the details specifically of it reported first by the Wall Street Journal that has really caught a lot of people's attention. What I think is interesting, if you can kind of stand back from, you know, 5,000 feet and take a nonpartisan view of this, whether you're left or right, it's just fascinating the details and the logistics of anyone flying planes filled with pallets loaded with actual hard cash to the country. It's like, this is the sort of thing you would expect to read about drug cartels, not the United
exactly.
States State Department.
I mean, we've got a nondescript plane with cash. I mean, American dollars paid for euros and Swiss francs because somehow there's some problem, I guess, with American money. And if this thing was so upfront, why don't you just do a wire transfer out of our government, you know, straight to Iran? I mean, this thing smacks of so much deception. And yet afterwards, now that they've got their hand caught in the cookie jar, you know, they're pleading some sort of, oh, you know, some twisted logic to try to make it go away. But the fact of the matter is, Beckett, they broke the law here, didn't they?
Well, this is what's the questions like that is what is, I don't want to use the word dogged, but has surrounded the Obama administration for the last 8 years. Things that on the face you and I would look at and say, well, that's got to be illegal, right? And then right. You have the explanations come out, and it's such a tangled mess of, lawyerese. I mean, this is what you get, I guess, when you elect lawyers into the Oval Office, that they kind of downplay it and they kind of parse it out so that it's not quite. It's like watching FBI Director James Comey last month when he came out and said there would be no charges against the former Secretary of State.
The non-indictment indictment, we call it, you know.
Right. It was amazing to watch him go through the list, bullet points, listing everything that he found that she did wrong. and then concluding with, anyhow, I won't be pressing charges. And here's why. And then you get this explanation as this again, this tangle of lawyerlies. So you're left wondering, well, how is it possible even for some of these people in power to break the law? Or will there always be some lawyer in their corner who can twist it into a pretzel and explain basically why there won't be charges? So with this Iran situation, we're flying currency from not just American currency, but currency from several different countries. Again, nondescript plane, dead at night. We give it to them on these pallets. Oddly, at the exact same time that four American hostages are released, and then we're asked to just kind of walk away, look the other way when we find out about it. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton was asked about this last night, and I kid you not, her very first reaction to it was, well, this is old news, which exactly tends to be a response you hear from a lot of politicians whenever something fishy turns up.
Yeah, she owns that. I mean, she owns that saying it's old news. I mean, how many times has she said that? That's the classic DNC deflection, whether it has to do with Monica Gates or any list of scandals that have been associated with the Clintons. If you want to talk about the video out of Benghazi, that along with plausible deniability. And basically, Beckett, we're not going to get a straight answer out of these people. They've been used to obfuscating and denying and telling us lies. I mean, now it's just so obvious. I mean, it's like, don't you guys realize you're just lying? And I mean, right. it takes an incredible amount of gall, but that's how far down the road we are. And America is sitting here going, wait, I can't even believe that we're associating, the term lying with a president of the United States and a would-be president of the United States. And you go, what is wrong? Because, I mean, and this is, I think, one thing that you might say in contrast, because we're in the election season with Donald Trump, he may be saying some things that, really, knock us back a bit, but he's not lying about it. I mean, this is what he feels and what he believes. Whereas then you have the world of politics and the Beltway, and you just go, you guys, you're lying, and we know you're lying. And they go,
right,
okay, but that's old news.
Right, right. See, that's the thing. It's like, it in the end, for the politician, sure, maybe you skate away and you get to avoid prison time or charge. Like, it was Bill Clinton in the 90s. Yeah. With the impeachment, he didn't get kicked out of office after he admitted to lying and went on television, and you see him saying it depends on what your definition of is. Bottom line, right, for him, yeah, maybe he skates, but that leaves the average American voter feeling disaffected and angry. You see people lying to you, to your face, and then basically they come out and say, yeah, but, I use very specific language like a good lawyer, so nothing's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about that. And
right,
what we see, it's funny, it's so predictable with politicians, and it's like this on both sides, frankly. You can set your watch to it. There's a scandal, you ask them about it, and their first reaction will always be, well, we don't have enough facts to comment. The facts will come out, you ask them again about it, and it's almost guaranteed. They'll say, well, that's an old story. That's old news. Why are
right
we even talking about this? Let's talk about the issues that matter most to Americans.
Well, Beckett, but what galls me and also concerns me, in much the same way you bring up Bill Clinton, is the impact culturally that this has. What is this telling the rest of America in terms of having any kind of integrity, to be honest, to be truthful? I mean, is it any wonder our country finds itself in the space of chaos that it's in right now? Because we're self-delusional. We just keep on riding this bus for as long, I guess, until we, finally go off the cliff, because there's no integrity to the roadway in which we're on.
Right. Basically, how long can you get caught doing weird, shady stuff and then weasel out of it with specific language before people become so disaffected that they look at someone like Trump and say, you know what, I like that guy because I think he has a match and this big, barrel of gas is ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, they're one lie away. It's just like Bill Clinton, in his case, it was one blue dress away, from the truth coming out. But even still, I mean, there were some consequences. I mean, he lost his law license, but still, he's allowed to come back and have a place, in the body politic and be a voice. And to me, when somebody lies to you, whether it's a Benghazi video or any amount of things, I think, that person needs to be marginalized, set aside, and say, look, at go off into retirement. You know, we the people have already agreed we're going to take care of you, but we don't want to hear from you anymore. You know, just go down the same road that Lois Lerner did. Why not? Beckett Adams has been with us on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Beckett.
Is brought to you by the Astellas Oncology C3 Prize. According to a study published in Lancet Oncology, by 2030, there are expected to be more than 22 million cancer cases worldwide. As the medical community develops innovative treatments, the need for new tools that may help those facing cancer today is critical. The Astellas Oncology C3 Prize, seeking non-treatment ideas to improve cancer care, will award $100,000 in grants and a chance to present at Stanford University's Medicine X to Shark Tank's Robert Hershevek. Mark Reisenauer, Senior VP Oncology at Astellas.
As a caregiver for my father, who recently passed away from cancer, I understand the needs and challenges faced by patients and caregivers. That's why we created the C3 Prize, and we look forward to the innovations discovered through this program.
Applications for the C3 Prize close at midnight Central Time, August 8th. Submit your ideas and see full challenge rules at c3prize.com. Void where prohibited and no purchase necessary.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Can your vitamin supplements positively affect your blood in 5 minutes? Protovite can. Protovite is a genuine breakthrough liquid daily nutrition that delivers quality ingredients into your blood in less than 5 minutes. Scientifically proven and backed by clinical studies, Protovite supports energy, vitality, and optimal health. Watch our 2-minute live blood cell video and see for yourself at VNIINC.com/ProHealth. That's VNIINC.com/ProHealth.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good, good, good vibrations.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our next guest has been with us before. Ted Kluck is with us. He's authored and co-authored over a dozen books, including the best-selling and award-winning Why We're Not Emergent. His new book, The Bridezilla of Christ, What to Do When God's People Hurt God's People. Ted, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Hey, Bill. I'm good, man. Good to be here.
Hey, I'll tell you, you and your co-author, boy, you went after the juggler here. You know, Pastor Ronnie Martin of, you know, what happens in the body of Christ, which is supposed to be presented perfect in every way. But when you get in a situation where there's infighting and backstabbing and gossip and that sort of thing, I mean, sadly, this happens in the church today, and you're calling out, I guess, pastors and members of the body of Christ to say, look, this is not godly. This isn't what Jesus went to the cross for.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And truly, we were calling out ourselves. You know, I think the impetus for this book came from Ronnie, but, you know, it was quickly apparent as we started to talk about it that in a lot of these situations, we have been the hurting, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think if you hang around this thing long enough, and obviously it's God's grace to show us our own simple hearts, but, yeah, looking back on these churches and these situations that we've been involved in, you know, there's oftentimes sin on both sides. So I think, you know, a book like this becomes a chance for people to connect, obviously, who have been hurt by the church and to feel less alone in that, but also to be reminded that, you know, ultimately our hope rests in Christ and the cross and our only hope, and our only hope for reconciled relationships and healthy relationships within the church comes from Christ and the gospel.
Well, the power of forgiveness is, how do you estimate its value? I mean, it's absolutely priceless. It is the gift of the forgiver, to forgive the one that needs to be forgiven. And as Jesus said, you know, before you take the little speck out of your brother's eye, you might want to consider your 2x4. So your point is well taken, is that we've all been on that side where we have hurt and disappointed people who have come to the church, and people come to the church with some expectation to think, okay, this should be a safe haven. God must be here, so it must be loving and reflect, the Heavenly Father and all those things that we have in terms of a perception of what heaven here on earth should be and, what Jesus died for. So it should be okay. And then we deal with the reality of we're dealing with humanity, you know, brothers and sisters. Yes, in Christ, but still flawed human beings.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think it starts with theology, and this is why preaching through Scripture is important, and it's why a church that manifestly preaches through Scripture and preaches Christ's death and resurrection is the only way to salvation. That's why that's so important, because we have to start with a true perspective, a true view of our own hearts and our own need for a Redeemer. So I think one thing that's interesting is that, you know, growing up in the church, I'd always heard this, you know, this kind of vernacular about, you know, oh, we're going to glorify God or give glory to God. And I truly never understood what that meant until I was in a situation where I had really hurt someone. And I was broken and repentant and humbled, really, by the Holy Spirit. And I saw them extend grace. And you get this beautiful picture of what heaven looks like, you know, because it's risky. I mean, it's risky for that other person to extend grace after they've been hurt. And really, only in the gospel and only in Christ is that possible. So so people would ask the question, how is God glorified? And I think those situations, those reconciled relationships within the church, those are really occasions for God to get glory. And really, as God's people, we really get to taste and see God's goodness and the joy that's ours in Christ when those situations happen.
Well, God deserves the glory because we can't do it ourselves, Ted. I mean, you know, we're out of our own flesh. You know, as you say, hurt people hurt people. And if we're wounded, we're going to do some more damage and in and of our flesh and our own mindsets. And we've seen a lot of that in our culture today. Christianity is to be counter the culture. We're to be the salt and the light. And the only way that we are is when we glorify God, and the only way to glorify God is when we're not doing things that promote the flesh, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, and so often I think, Bill, we major in the minors in church life, don't we? I mean, we make it You know, we spend so much time thinking about how we can be attractive to the world through our amenities or our, you know, kind of catering our message to the whims and the needs of the world, where in fact what we need to do is give them the gospel and give truth and be a place where grace is extended and received. You know, I think if we're doing those things, the way that looks can look different, you know, based on where we are, people's affinities or whatever. But if those things are at the core, then we have a shot. You know, we have a shot at reconciling relationships. And we don't have to slide into the kind of bitterness and discontentment that comes from just continually being hurt and then looking for, you know, ways in which the church is failing us.
Exactly. Well, you know, as you say, majoring on the minors, you know, maybe the mantra is let's major on the majors, okay? Mm-hmm. Let go of those things that are holding us back, you know, reach forward for that higher calling as much as we can. And we need all of us to do that, to be an encouragement one to another. As you say, for you and your book and the Bridezilla of Christ, what to do when God's people hurt God's people. And you share your story. And that's an encouragement to others to say, look, we're not claiming perfection here. Right. You know, we're human and we've fallen and we mess up. But, you know, like Paul, it's this body of death we're dragging around with us. You know, that comes up every once in a while and go, oh gosh, you know, forgive me. I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm being a knucklehead again. That's not what I want to be. And hopefully you understand that. Because I know, you know, maybe that's not what you want to be either. And we can encourage one another. And that is the hope. And there's where God gets glorified is that, you know, it extends beyond your experience, Ted, and starts infecting other people, which is what you and Pastor Ronnie have done with your book is you're encouraging other people to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm right there. I'm just as guilty. I've been involved in gossip and I've hurt people. And in your book, you specifically give some tips on how to avoid the pitfalls of gossip. You know, tell our audience about that.
Yeah, you know, I think we wanted to make the book really connectable and really relatable. And you know, there have been people that have been hurt in, you know, really astonishing ways by the church via abuse and some of these things. We didn't focus too heavily on that. I mean, I think we wanted to give examples. Again, like you said, from our own lives of things that the common churchgoer can relate to, you know, and in this dynamic we wrote about a lot was the sense of being on the outside of things, right? It seems like in every group of people there are insider and outsider kind of dynamics going on.
Us and them.
It's ironic. Right. What's that?
Yeah, I say us and them. You know, that's what our culture, we're so bifurcated today, we're no longer the United States. I've been saying we're the un-United States because we've been so bifurcated, just as, you know, all these different, as you say, you know, doctrines and different beliefs in the church. But it's like, you know, are we focusing on the majors, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, the church is a microcosm of that kind of bifurcation and fragmentedness, you know, among groups. And I think, you know, what's ironic is that after I wrote Why We Love the Church with Kevin DeYoung, I entered into probably the hardest 5 or 6 years of church life I'd ever experienced. You know, my wife and I, we couldn't have kids biologically. We were in a church that was just like kids were growing on trees. It was raining kids. And it was a really hard place to be an infertile couple. And the result of that was a lot of bitterness on our end and a lot of gossip. And the only remedy to that was the Holy Spirit pursuing us, confronting us with our own bitterness, and, you know, God saying, it will be difficult for you to go and apologize to the people that you've hurt, but I'm big enough to cover it. And, you know, when we were able to step out in faith and see some of those relationships reconciled, man, it was overwhelming, you know, and God again received glory.
Well, Ted, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on the book. It'll be linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. America 29 after the top.
Mosquitoes. We all know they can cause itchy, irritating bites during the summer season. But did you know only female mosquitoes bite your skin? Or that the chemicals in your breath can attract mosquitoes? Scientists at the S.C. Johnson Entomology Research Center have been studying insects for 60 years and have found that body chemistry, proximity to water, and the color of your clothing can make a difference if you want to avoid bites. Dr. Maud Meyer, an S.C. Johnson bug expert, is here to share some tips to help you protect your family from mosquitoes this summer.
Our research at SC Johnson shows that personal repellents that contain DEET offer the best protection against mosquito bites. DEET affects the scent receptors in mosquitoes, making it difficult for them to recognize humans as a food source. In order to best protect your family, look for effective personal repellents like Off that contain DEET.
For more facts and tips on avoiding mosquito bites this summer, visit www.scjohnson.com/mosquitoes.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
You think it's easy being him?
Everything can be fixed if you're willing to pay for it.
So, who's gonna be our super high roller?
Bill Martinez live. Who else?
Here I am, America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bridget Johnson is back with us. Always good to have her inside. Washington editor for PJ Media, and she's a fellow in terrorism now at the, and I hope I'm saying this right, Bridget, the Chaim Soloman Center. Is that correct?
That's right,
yeah. Hey, well, good. Well, good for you. Bridget, of course, a career journalist whose news articles and opinion columns have run in dozens of news outlets across the globe. And the topic this morning is, we're asking the question because John Kerry has brought this up again. He's telling us, ISIS is on the run. And we're saying, really? Is ISIS on the run, Bridget?
They are on the run to new and wonderful places, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying in the wrong direction, not in the right.
Yeah. If you want to couch on the run in terms of shrinking, as the administration likes to suggest, no. And that's also true of Al-Qaeda.
Well, and, here we were looking at a report here this morning, that goes unreported, the number of, terrorist attacks around the world and the devastation that has taken place. I mean, it's just incredible how, those reports are just, nobody's really paying attention to them. There's no way. This is a list of the terrorist attacks according to the religionofpeace.com here, Bridget. Says during this time period, there were 100, and this is the last 30-day period, okay? During this last 30-day, there were 141 Islamic attacks in 22 countries in which 1,165 people were killed and 1,803 injured. And, of course, this is the best that they can do in terms of trying to keep up with all the attacks because they said it's impossible to keep up with them all. But here in the West, we're lucky to get maybe 2% of the reports,
you know, one of the important things to stress, too, is that, you know, it's correct when, you know, somebody from the administration or Defense Department comes out and says, this is an unconventional enemy, this is an unconventional type of war. But then when they start describing the battle, and I'm talking more like State Department, you know, away from the Pentagon at this point, they couch it in terms of conventional war. Like John Kerry assuming that, okay, but, you know, they're actually shrinking. Okay, well, are you just thinking of the Islamic State and this territory that they hold in Syria and Iraq? Well, okay, what they've been doing while they've had that territory in Syria and Iraq is branching out into new provinces. And they have many provinces at this point. They reach from Bangladesh, and we saw, you know, that horrible cafe attack in Dhaka. They have, they're, you know, trying to even get a foothold in Latin America. You know, they're definitely across North Africa. You know, there are definitely cells in Europe. You know, one of my sources in intercepted a package of like GPS software and other encrypted software that ISIS was handing out to jihadists in Europe, and the GPS was set to Belgium. So, you know, their strategy is not to sit there in this tight little caliphate and hope that nobody comes and attacks them. Their strategy all along, just like Al-Qaeda's strategy all along, has not been, you know, to hide in caves in Pakistan, is to basically spread out into every nook and corner in the globe that they can, because when ISIS talks about, for example, sacking Rome by 2020, they're not talking about just doing it from a boat launch from North Africa. They're talking about coming down from Europe, from the north, and basically sacking Rome from that direction as well. And to do that, you have to be ingrained in Europe. To do that, you know, to strike at Washington, D.C., you have to be ingrained in the United States. Exactly. And how their strategy also of getting people in these places is also not dependent on come here and train and we'll send you to this location. No, they want people who know the language, know the culture, who were most likely born there. We've seen that with the French and Belgium attackers lately. People who will not stick out like a sore thumb. People who can blend into their neighborhoods and can stage an attack from within.
Well, and look at what happened, you know, recently here in the United Kingdom. You know, and you know, ISIS is, you know, getting a lot of measure and leverage, you know, from these lone wolves that you're talking about that, you know, can come up like, you know, like whack-a-mos, you know, and they're just, you know, they're popping up like moles. And even though the president says, hey, what should we do? You know, should we, you know, are we in a game of whack-a-mole? Yeah, I think so, you know, because they're, you know, they're popping up and, you know, they're coming out of our own communities. And here the jihadis have said, look, we want, you know, we're targeting, you know, to your point, we're targeting England, we're targeting, you know, France, and these Western countries to make an impact and, you know, have the people on, you know, shaking in their boots.
And I'm at this point calling it the lone wolf trap, because it's almost like the administration is using this phrase not to kind of, you know, accurately describe how an attack is occurring, but to almost lessen the strategic importance of the attack, because it's not coming directly from, you know, an email from Ayman al-Zawahiri saying, you know, please go strike this place. Right.
Exactly. No, I hear what you're saying, you know, on one hand, and on the other hand, I'm saying, well, at least they're being a little real, because on so many other fronts, they're being so unreal. And as you say, State Department spokesman, you know, John Kirby, who, I mean, I think between him and Josh Earnest, they have probably the two most difficult jobs, I would think, that anybody could have in trying to plead some kind of plausibility to this insanity.
Yeah, and you'll remember, too, that Kirby used to be at the Pentagon. And,
yes, exactly.
We had fun when he was over there. Now we have a press secretary who tells it straight, so it's kind of boring. but yeah, you know, one of the you know, important things is to remember that, you know, lone wolves are not a fallback plan. They're not a symptom of a terror group running scared and, you know, hoping to find anywhere they can to set up shop. When you have something like the English language magazines coming out from Al-Qaeda, and we actually saw one this week coming from Al-Qaeda in Syria, similar to the one, the Inspire magazine that's published by Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. When you have step-by-step tutorials in there for people to be able to build bombs from different household items, when you have tutorials in there on how to choose assassination targets, how to stake out your victims, you know, how to basically everything on how to carry out a terror attack, how is that not direction coming from the quote-unquote core?
Exactly. Well, you know, the other thing, too, Bridget, I wanted to address, and I know that you're still in the works of writing this up, and that has to do with yet another former Gitmo detainee declaring jihad. The president has released many former Gitmo detainees, and, you know, the administration has even admitted to a certain degree that, you know, some have, you know, returned to the battlefield. And somehow the administration thinks that, you know, this just, you know, goes along with the process.
Yeah, this is actually, this is coming from Al-Qaeda, and this is the second time recently that Al-Qaeda has done this. You know, they had a Sudanese detainee who was released a long time ago who went and joined Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and now you have one that's calling himself Abu Mazhar al-Bhutani, so somebody who's British, who basically laid out in that Al-Qaeda in Syria magazine his long story, detailed story of being in Gitmo and how he's now finally in Syria and you know, able to fight jihad there. So it's a pretty stunning reminder of, you know, how the liquidation of Guantanamo is fueling terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at what somebody's going to do, look what they've done. I mean, why should we be surprised? Bridget Johnson has been with us, Washington editor for PJ Media and a fellow in terrorism at the Chaim Soloman Center. Bridget, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour right now.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez live.
I guess maybe you thought he was lying to us, right? A fundamental new direction. How do you like me now after almost 8 years of one failed policy after another? It's Bill Martinez back with you, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. We've got crime and serial killer expert, creator, producer, writer, and former host of Dark Minds, acclaimed award-winning investigative journalist. William Phelps is with us. He's an investigative journalist and New York Times bestselling author of 32 books and winner of the 2013 Excellence in Investigative Journalism Award and the 2008 New England Book Festival Award. William, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
How you been?
Hey, I've been wonderful. I'm, you know, especially these days, I'm in Alohaville. I'm in Hawaii. Our daughter, our only daughter, is expecting her first child, so we're on baby watch right now.
Oh, my goodness. So you're grandpa.
Yeah. This will be the ninth one, her first. You know, little Jackson, he's due any minute, and I think my daughter's about ready to make it any second.
I bet. That would have
you know how
time.
That goes, huh?
Yeah. The three times I did it myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know.
Exactly. I want to talk about If You Only Knew and the death of Donald Rogers, okay?
Let's talk
about this.
Well, as you know, following my career, I generally write about relationships. There's a murder in there, but generally speaking, I write about relationships, man, wife, mother, daughter, siblings. In this case, we have an aunt and a niece. That's the relationship at the center of this crime, this murder, and If You Only Knew. And, you know, it's one of those cases that baffles my mind when I looked at it. You have a young woman in her 20s who, by all means, is bouncing around through life. She's been an escort. She's been a doper. She's been a drinker. She's from rural Tennessee, but she's now up in the Detroit area of Michigan, living with her aunt, who is married to a self-made guy, Donald Rogers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the aunt is also a partier and a gambler, and, you know, when people get, it behooves me, Bill, that when people get bored and, you know, they think they can find a better way for life, they choose murder.
Right. Yeah, they want to go the expedient route here, right?
Yeah. In this case, and I'm attracted to the cases that aren't really cut and paste, cut and dry cases where, you know, for example, in this case, If You Only Knew, what you have is, and I interviewed Von Lee Nicole Titlow, the woman at the center of this in prison. I interviewed her for hours. And what you have here is you really have questions. I like questions because questions need answers, and I like finding the answers. So Right. You know, you have a 911 call one night, and it's Von Lee and her aunt, Billie Jean, are calling 911 to say Don has passed out again on the floor. This time he's not breathing. And they were right making that call, because Don was a savage alcoholic. And when I mean alcoholic, I mean, you know, a half a gallon of vodka a day. This wow. guy was drinking. He was bleeding everywhere out of every orifice in his body. I mean, he was dying to begin with. So the cops come, and I love it when cops do their jobs. And when I love it when cops just like the beat cops. Yeah. They go there and they really do their jobs. Like in
well,
case,
you love their instinct. I mean, they can I go do. In and within seconds they've got it figured out. It is amazing to me.
And you're right about that. It's the gut instinct. Nothing replaces the gut instinct. And you know, cops tell me all the time, your gut instinct is never wrong. It's never ever wrong. If you think something's happened, it has. In this case, the story is that Don was drinking in the kitchen. There's an empty bottle of vodka there, and he passed out. He fell off his chair, and bang, he's on the floor, and he must have had a heart attack or something. And so the cops come, and you know, they're buying into this. But then one of the patrol cops says to the other cop, if you fell off a chair, would your legs be crossed? Because Don's on the floor, and his legs are crossed. Mm. And it's that one little question that leads to the next question, that leads to the next question, that ultimately, years later, leads to two arrests.
Exactly. Wow. So here they, you know, they see the body positioned rather awkwardly. So they're asking the question. And so, as you say, this opens up more questions and more answers. So where do they go from there?
Well, what they do from there is one of the detectives begins to... I love it when cops use the Columbo car.
Yes. Just one more thing. Yes.
And this one detective, and it's funny, it was I recall my copy editor and me having a laugh at one point, and you have to when you're doing this stuff, this dark
yeah.
stuff, that
yeah.
on one page of the manuscript, there were four people named Don. two detectives named Don, the victim was named Don, and then Don's friend, Don.
And, oh, wow.
And this one particular detective, Don, he keeps knocking on the door to Billie Jean, you know, and he sees, because he has access to the accounts, and he notices Billie Jean is, geez, she'd be better off with some money.
Right.
And the cop begins to hear that, geez, Don Rogers, the victim, he cut Billie Jean off just recently, and because... Billie Jean was going to the casino every night and withdrawing $500 from her ATM card, and you know that Don was just getting sick of it, so he cut her off. And so there you have a motive, right? So
right.
so we have a motive, but then we have to find a manner of death. And what happens at the coroner's office is just one of the most bizarre things, one of the most bizarre twists in this case that I've ever seen in any of my cases, really.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is Don's body comes in on a Saturday, and the on-call coroner takes a look at it, does an preliminary alcohol test of the blood, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He finds, you know, abundant amounts of alcohol, but the blood tests actually haven't come back yet. They'll come back Monday. He finds alcohol intoxication. He finds Don's heart is just blast, you know, just blasted out. And mm-hmm. he signs off that, you know, Don died of natural causes, likely. So,
right.
of course, Billie Jean, the wife, runs down there. Once they sign that death certificate, runs down there, grabs that body, has it cremated. Okay?
Wow.
Monday... And in most coroner offices in every state do this, Bill. On Mondays, they have a meeting to discuss what happened over the weekend. Well, one of the coroners is looking at the reports over the weekend and sees this Don Rogers guy. And he sees the number on the alcohol. And the number is 0.44. Now, 0.08 is legally intoxicated, falling
right.
down drunk in most states, right?
Exactly, right.
He's 0.44. I mean, basically, you have alcohol poisoning at 0.2, 0.21. Basically, you're dead at 0.3. This guy's 0.44. How did all that alcohol get into his body? The coroner says, I want a full, complete autopsy of this guy. Let's go. There's something else going on here. And the other coroner says, well, no, I released the body.
Yeah.
Body's been cremated.
Can you analyze the ashes here?
Yeah. So thus we have our first issue. And the issues just start piling up and piling up from there.
So now all of a sudden, the body's not available. So now the flags are flying and these investigators are going, no, there's got to be some more to the story. So how do they pull the next thread to get the next answer?
Well, you know, when you have no physical evidence, when you have no forensic evidence, what you got to do is get people talking. And if you have a feeling as a investigator that two or more people are involved in a murder, one of those people is ultimately always going to talk. It never ceases to amaze me that, you know, if you're going to kill somebody, don't tell anybody, because the person you tell is going to tell somebody else. And the dominoes will fall. And sure enough, Von Lee, Nicole Titlow, the niece, is drunk one night at the casino, and she mentions to her boyfriend over dinner, geez, you're never going to guess what my aunt did, and she tried to get me involved in this. And I think I might have even helped her. I don't know if I helped her, but I think I might have. Von Lee's kind of confused, and there is some confusion whether she was involved or not. However, this guy goes running to a cop friend of his, and the cop friend takes it to the detective, and the detective says, well, let's put a wire on him and see what she has to say. And thus we have the old wire on the boyfriend who gets the confession out of the girlfriend. It's the oldest trick in the book, really. And that's how this whole thing begins to unfold. But yet there's a major, major twist in this story about 100 pages in that I won't reveal. That is just jaw-dropping, really, because of what goes on.
Okay, so I won't ask that question. I'll leave that, you know, for the reader and the would-be book purchaser to pick this up and really get the story. If you only knew a true story of Donald Rogers, I mean, this is just most incredible. Where can people get their hands on your book, William?
Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, please. I encourage people to go to the brick-and-mortar stores, independent bookstores, and buy them up. And also just mwilliamphelps.com. Check it out.
There it is, M. William Phelps on Bill Martinez Live. William, thank you so much for being with us. That is a wrap for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us. We will see you mañana. Same time, same place, right here on the SDG Radio Network.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
There is an affordable alternative.